Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you recognise that block rock and beat right there. That, of course, is the Beer Nuts Productions theme music. My name is Goff. Welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. And there is only one person who is responsible for that monstrosity of a theme music, and that is my guest, Brendan Scott. How are you today, Brendan?
Goff, this is a delight to talk to you and to your listeners.
Well, I will pretend you're not being sarcastic and take it as serious.
Oh, now, I am as sincere as anything. You can count on that. Absolutely.
Well, firstly, I want to chat about that Beer Nuts Productions theme music because 7 years ago now, back in 2013, I called you up and I said, because I refer to you as the song and dance man, and we will investigate why I do that shortly. But I said, song and dance man, I require a theme music for Beer Nuts Productions for our films. I want a cheesy Tonight Show kind of theme. And within 24 hours, you emailed me back that file and I said, I love it. So can you maybe take us through two things. Firstly, how you went about doing it. And secondly, your songwriting process.
The first thing we're talking about is 7 years ago and the very quick off-the-cuff question that you asked me, well, being, you know, can you make something for me? So my memory of the whole process is a little hazy, to be quite frank with you. But what happened was that I guess in the description of what you gave me, I kind of tried to envisage in my mind what would suit that. And to be honest, I was probably in a hurry. I was probably in between gigs trying to cover a whole bunch of stuff and just quickly sat at the piano and whipped something up, thinking that you would probably send it back to me and want adjustments to it and so on. And you seem to have taken it on board ever since. So I'm very grateful for that. But there's no real scientific process, I've got to say, to how that comes about. I wish there was a better story for it, but there really isn't. It was a case of get it done and get it done quickly.
No, I like the story of I pulled it out of my ass. I think that's a very good story.
Well, these are words you would say. I have a much lovelier way of putting things, but that's pretty much how it happened. Absolutely.
No, I love it. I really do. I think it works fantastic for what we do. You did a fantastic job. You truly did. Now, as I said, I do refer to you as the song and dance man. Maybe you could tell our listeners why I might refer to you as the song and dance man.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that the theme music, you asked for it to be cheesy. And I think that that's, you know, we were so successful at that because my whole career has been like that. And that includes the whole song and dance man concept. I recorded an album which the title track was a Mike McClellan song, an old song called Song and Dance Man, just a song and dance man going from town to town, which I've done in my show, in my cabaret show, and if that doesn't sound cheesy, I don't know what does, but I've done it in my cabaret show for that many years, and I guess when we met all those years ago, and it seems like forever.
It's definitely felt like forever.
I think that was probably the first CD of mine that I ever gave you, and you were so amused by, firstly, the fact that I sang that song, and secondly, that we titled the album after it, that you forever called me Song and Dance Man, and the more abbreviated version of Song. And what's funny is that my late mother once ran into a member of your family who, you know, we knew and said, oh, I'm Brendan Scott's mother, to which the member of your family was quite confused and said, I don't know who that is. And eventually he said, oh, Song, yes, I know who you're talking about. So I think that's the first time I've ever been recognised by that descriptive title, and it's all thanks to you.
Well, I think it's very apt because, as you say, you do. I mean, actually, this is a sort of a question that I wanted to ask you, and it may sound like an offensive question, but it's really not, because I actually think it's quite a clever thing that you do. And I wouldn't expect
anything less of you.
what you've made your career on is aiming to the retirees, the over 65s. That's what you base your act on. Now, most people of our age are not thinking, I want to entertain the over 65s. That's not their goal in life. But you saw a hole in the market and you filled it. And I think that's really smart. So maybe you can tell us why you've gone down the cabaret and the old school kind of a road.
Well, it wasn't a deliberate decision. It happened because that's what I grew up in. I had a teacher, a music teacher, singing and dancing and all of that, who would put me on stage at all of these places. And the places were predominantly filled with the older age group. And so consequently, we prepared material to suit the older age group. And it is such... it's such a joy, and I have to tell you this, it really is. You get, it is the most accepting, enthusiastic, most wonderful group of people to perform to, and I found that I was very much accepted in that style of performing. And like you said, there's at the time there was quite a niche in it, and we started doing in the clubs a lot of morning shows, and that was a concept that really didn't happen a lot going back 20 odd years or so, but we started doing them in the suburban clubs, and now, well, up until very recently, that has become quite a significant thing, quite a significant outing for people on a daily basis. So they really are a wonderful group of people, and I don't talk about the older people exclusively. I mean, I try and appeal to a broad amount of people, and it depends on the job, it depends on what you're being paid to perform for, but I have found that the older age group and the retiree age group have really been my people, if you like, and I've very much enjoyed it.
Well, see, that's what I'm meaning. Like, I think it's very smart because obviously you thought to yourself, well, they're not going to be the kind that are going to go out at 9 at night to see a show. They're going to be more right. The kind that want an 11 a.m. or a 1 p.m. kind of show. So if I perform then I do my song and dance routine. They love it. Yep. I make coin. Everybody's a winner. Is that essentially your thought process?
It's pretty much been my thought process, and I'm one of the very few performers, full-time performers, who can honestly say I don't like going out at night.
But let me ask you this, though, Song. Are you afraid that once your audience die, which will be very soon, are you afraid that you're going to go into receivership?
You are for one thing, a pandemic has put me into receivership, so we've pretty much knocked over that hurdle. Secondly... In answer directly, answer to your question, one generation moves on. I put it in a much nicer manner than you do. But one generation moves on. The next generation comes up. We just adapt the act to the next generation, and we just continue as is. It's all in the way you tweak things.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Now, another thing about you, obviously, something we have in common is we're both vision impaired. Now, I'm curious right. as to your schooling experience. Because people who watch the I Will Not Go Quietly documentary on the Beer Nuts Productions website will know, obviously, what my schooling process was like. I'm curious as another, you obviously grew up in Victoria, I grew up in Queensland. Mm. I'm curious as to what your schooling process was like being blind, being vision impaired.
I think, and I watched your documentary and was fascinated by it, and I think from seeing that we probably had very similar experiences, and I was one of the first people, particularly in Victoria, and I don't know if it's the same in Queensland, but when I started primary school, I was one of the first people, disabled people, if you like, to be integrated into mainstream school. Up until that point, most people who had a vision problem would be sent to, down here it was the Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind, or whatever the equivalent is in whatever state. But the decision was made to put me into mainstream primary school with the aid of what was then called the Visiting Teacher Service. And that meant that you would do your best for learning in the general classroom and interacting with people. But once a week, you actually had a what would now be called probably a teacher's aide who would come in and work with the holes in the system, if you like, the holes that you weren't perhaps catching up with. So I had the visiting teacher service. I had, the permission to get up out of my chair and literally walk to the blackboard. Are we allowed to say blackboard still?
I think chalkboard.
We were then.
Chalkboard.
The chalkboard, okay. I would have permission to literally get up and walk to the chalkboard to read, what I needed to read from it, commit that to memory, then go back to my desk and do with it what I needed to do, which sort of gave me a reasonable memory skill over the years. And then as time went along, I was... taught to touch type, so I was one kid in a classroom of 20 that was clacking away at an old-fashioned typewriter, which no doubt annoyed the hell out of everybody. And then, you know, on to laptops. And now, I mean, now every kid uses a laptop or an iPad or whatever it happened to be, but it was very much not, you know, I think we had similar experiences in that regard.
And what about, so music then, going into your music when you were younger, was music a bit of an escape for you? Because obviously I knew the answer to that question before I asked it, but I mean, so you're having a bit of a rough time at school. It was music your escape? You know, you could go into the music room, you could pick up an instrument and it sort of took you out of the whole situation. Is that where it sort of grew for you?
Well, not really an escape. It was more that I didn't know any different, and that is that I've been actually performing professionally on stage since I was 4 years old. I was a boy soprano in shows, and so I literally, and this is no word of a lie, I would be going to school during the day. Sometimes at night I'd be performing, everywhere at the weekends I'd be performing. I'd be in what used to be called music hall shows, or I'd be in variety shows, or whatever it happened to be. So I grew up in the business. It really wasn't an escape as such. It was more an outlet, but it was a professional outlet.
But you obviously enjoy it. I mean, you wouldn't do it if you didn't love it.
So,
what is it that you love about it? What really draws you in and kick? Because I mean, you've been doing this forever. So what is it that you really love?
There's many answers to that, but I think, you know, you don't go to somebody's house and fix their plumbing or go and fix their electricity or walk into an office and then at the end of whatever you did, you know, 100 people applaud for you. That doesn't happen in any other
Well, they would
business.
If I fixed There's their certain... toilet. Well, let me tell you.
Yes. You're more likely to break the toilet, but that's a whole nother story. But, you know, there's that aspect to it. And, you know, it's... A lot of people get addicted to that. A lot of people get addicted to the applause and the adulation that comes with it. I'm not so much, and I've discovered in the last 6 months or so that I can live, you know, quite happily without the applause and the adulation. But there is that element to it. That is something very much you enjoy. And, you know, when people, when you can take a couple of hundred people or more all at one time away from their troubles, you know, they might dislike each other at the end, of, you know, once they leave the place, but for that few minutes while they're there and they're focused on you and they're all, you know, really encouraging you and really cheering you on, that's a moment of unity, and that doesn't come from any other, you know, any other walk of life, and that's something that is really special for me. And the other thing, particularly with the demographic of age group that I perform for, you know, you do get people that we always do a meet and greet and all of that after the shows, and you do get people who will come and tell me, you know, I didn't want to come. I've woken up in pain. I've had pain for 3 weeks, whatever, but I haven't felt the pain today. I haven't felt the pain in the last hour because, you know, I've had such a good time. That's just priceless for me. That's just gold. So I really do enjoy that aspect of it.
Very cool, very cool. Now, let's say you're chilling out on a Sunday evening. What does the song and dance man put on his record player? What do you enjoy listening to in your own downtime?
You know, for a musician, it's remarkable how little music I actually play in my own, you know, for myself in my own time. I'm more likely to watch things or listen to talkback radio or whatever. But I'm very big into country music, which will no doubt, you know, alienate more people than I ever intended to start with. But I really am. I'm big into country music, and if I do put something on, it's most likely going to be, you know, something along those lines.
Now, speaking of music, obviously, you as we said, you do all the older songs and all that, but you also do original work, and I'm going to play one of your original songs to finish this podcast. Before we chat about that, I just want to say, obviously, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I do genuinely appreciate your time.
It's my delight. I'm so thrilled to be invited.
Well, again, I could sense sarcasm, but we'll ignore that.
No, don't. Do not.
No, but look, thank you so much. Oh, firstly, of course, where can people find Brendan Scott? So if people want to look you up, how are they going to find you?
Well, yeah, I have a website, brendanscott.com.au, and that tells you all you need to know about what I do. It also used to feature every venue where I was performing. You won't find that there just at the minute. But what we are doing is kind of changing the way I do business, and because I've spent so many years visiting places, apart from doing venues, but I've visited in a lot of aged care and a lot of retirement villages and that sort of thing. We're taking that business into a bit of a remote market and putting, you know, doing things like this, using Zoom or whatever to do concerts as if I was there, and places are beaming them into the big screen, and you know, people are gathering in the main hall or the lounge room or whatever it happens to be, and it's just as if I'm there in person, but without the logistical nightmares that the current situation presents to us. But we can still do the shows. I can still look at, you know, poor old Anne or Mavis or whoever and wish them a happy birthday, or you know, whatever it happens to be. We can do everything that we used to do, but just remotely. So I'm trying to break into that, and that also gives me the opportunity to perform those shows in literally every state in Australia, anywhere, because we don't have to physically be there.
And overseas as well. If people who are listening overseas want to hook up Brendan Scott Entertainment, they just brendanscott.com.au, they can send you an email and you can work something out.
And I'm more than happy to be here at 3 a.m. doing a show at, you know, for some place overseas for 2 o'clock in their afternoon. Not a problem at all.
Absolutely. Now, before I get you to explain about the original track that we're going to play, obviously, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. BeerNutsProductions.com is the place you go for all your entertainment needs. That's right, song. All of your entertainment needs. Mm. And
how'd you come up with that name, by the way?
What, Beer Nuts Productions? Well, yes. You drink a beer, eat some nuts, and watch some of my hilarious and witty films.
I got it.
Plus, fantastic. And in all honesty, I mean, and I think you're a good example of this, not to take yourself too seriously. And Beer Nuts Productions is about having fun and watching fun content. And you're very much, I mean, I've seen you work before, obviously, and you very much the same vein of not taking yourself too seriously and having a bit of fun. So you're on board. We have a very similar viewpoint in that regard, yeah?
Absolutely. I think that's why we've been mates for so many years.
Absolutely, man. Now, also, obviously, like and subscribe to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast, leave a friendly review. And now, Brendan, what are we going to listen to now? You've given me an original track to play. Can you firstly tell us what the track is and what it's about, and then we will play it?
Yeah, look, I've struggled to write music over the years. I've written a few things that I have in my show, but I'm always on a quest to be able to write things and to be far better at it. This song is called Old Friend, and this came about rather easily, actually, because for many years I was performing country music festivals, and in those festivals you have a resident backing band, and there's always guys that you hang out with for, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row, and then you get to the next festival and they'd be there again, and so you'd drink with them, or you'd be in the motel room next to them, or whatever it happens to be. And so one of the gentlemen who played guitar in one of these bands was very ill and consequently passed away. And I had spoken with him just prior to him passing away, only about a week or so. And I was just gutted by it, as, you know, as many people are when they lose people. And so one morning, well, the next morning after I heard the news, I just came out and started writing these words down, and I've got to tell you, it was the easiest song that I ever wrote, and it's been used quite widely, and this is a sort of a rather morbid achievement, but it has been used, you know, quite widely in funerals, and it's become important for people as they remember loved ones, and so that's the song, and it's called Old Friend.
At a story that you told, we didn't share a drink or speak of days of old. Today we didn't feel the warmth of having you around or experience that special way of living that you found. And though the world tomorrow will go on. It's a different world for us now that you've gone. Old friend, thanks for being you. Thanks for all the years, the gift we've had in knowing you. Old friend, keep us in your heart, as you will be in ours, even though we're far apart. Old friend, so many happy memories that we are thankful for, of the little things you said and did that will live forevermore. And every time we speak of you, remember you and smile, we will know we've been forever blessed that you were in our lives. And even though you're gone from this place, your spirit and your legacy forever we'll embrace. Old friend, thanks for being you. Thanks for all the years, the gift we've had in knowing you. Old friend, keep us in your heart, as you will be in ours, we're far apart. Old friend, thanks for being you. Thanks for all the years, the gift we've had in knowing you. Old friend, keep us in your heart, as you will be in ours, even though we're far apart.